Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen, amen. It's so good to see everybody here on a Sunday morning. Amen, as we get ready to enter into the presence of the Almighty God. Amen. You know, people say we need to welcome the presence of the Lord into this place. I've got news for them. The presence of the Lord was in this place long before we ever pulled into the parking lot this morning. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to get into His presence this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be here. Before we ever get started this morning, I've been tasked to make this announcement. If the Lord has laid it upon your heart this morning, we are actually needing two volunteers this morning. We've got two classes that we need some volunteers, some help in this morning. Whenever Sunday school classes are just dismissed, it will be the 18-month-old to the 3-year-old, and then the 4 to 6-year-old class. So if you feel the Lord has laid that upon your heart, would you please go see Brother Bolton before they dismiss Sunday school this morning, amen, and I'm sure that He would be glad to steer you in the right path, amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Are you glad to be in His presence, amen? Praise the Lord. Let me go ahead and get some announcements out of the way. Let's not forget about our My Church app, amen. The My Church app gives simple, secure. It makes giving simple, secure, and convenient, whether you're giving during service throughout the week. You can make one-time gifts, set up recurring giving, and view your giving history all from the app. If you still need help with that, if you grab one of these youngsters, I promise you they'll be able to get you hooked up, amen, get you right in line. So let's not forget about the My Church app, amen. All of our announcements and services and things are located there. Amen. Remember, no jams classes during July or August for the summer break. Wednesday, July the 29th, from 6 to 8 p.m., we're going to have our Bounce Back to School. That's the Jams and Blast kids will enjoy a bounce house, hot dogs, cotton candy, snow cones, and much more. Be sure to let the kids know to invite their friends. Also, starting August the 3rd, somebody say August 3rd. Man, everybody got your hearing aid on, battery in, volume turned up. Y'all hear me? All right, August the 3rd. Praise the Lord. I had to change my battery last night. Matter of fact, amen. Praise the Lord. August the 3rd, we're going to start our 21 days of prayer, and we are also going to have corporate prayer every Monday night in August at 6:30 right here at the church. Amen. There is also a bassinet that is out in the foyer to help welcome baby Goldie Mae Yearwood and congratulate Sister Kaylin and Brother Nathan Yearwood. Amen. So that is out there. If you'd like to contribute to that. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know we use this scripture a lot. But the psalmist says, when he was penning Psalms 34 and 1, his praise and worship was not predicated on the circumstance that he was going through. I am so thankful that our worship isn't predicated on how we feel or what we're going through. I want to encourage everybody this morning. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what we're facing. We all have situations. We're all bombarded by life's trials and troubles. But when David penned the words in Psalms 34 and 1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4 said, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. Church, I don't care what you're afraid of this morning. I don't care what you're going through this morning. Like I started off and said this morning, the presence of the Almighty God is already in this place. The healer is already, the peace speaker is already in this place long before we ever arrived. I encourage you and I invite you this morning that as we begin to sing and worship him, that we begin to just stand to our feet and begin to magnify him and be like David, that we're going to bless the Lord at all times. It doesn't matter what we're going through. Come on, somebody, let's just get into the presence of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Of the Lord this morning. You can be seated. Hallelujah. You can sit down, but don't sit down on God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's not forget about all of those that are on our prayer list this morning. Amen. If you have unspoken requests, we'd like you to make those known by the lifting of your hand this morning. Amen. Look around you. Those that are sick, those that are not here, maybe those that are even traveling this morning. Amen. Let's also remember all of those this morning. Amen. I'd like to go ahead and get our ushers, if they would, to come this morning. Amen. Let's go ahead and take these needs before the Lord. Amen. And ask the Lord to have his way in this service. God, we thank you right now. Lord, we pray that you would touch each and every need here in this house. God, we pray, Lord, that you touch each and every unspoken request. God, you see each and every name. God, I pray that you would touch each and every need here this morning. God, I pray for this offering this morning. I pray, God, that you would bless those that have to give this morning. God, I pray that you'd bless those that have not the same. God, we ask you this all, Lord, in your precious name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 139, David said, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heaven, thou art there. But even if I make my bed in hell, you're there." It does not matter where we find ourselves in this daily walk. God will always be right there beside us. What a God, what a God. Y'all worship this morning as we sing.
My life forever satisfied. Amen. Why don't we lift our hands together and give God praise today? What a great God we serve today. My. God, we love you. Come on, somebody. Come on, church. Give God the praise that's due his name on a Sunday morning. Come on, it picked you up out of a miry pit. Come on, you shouldn't be here today. What a God. What a God. What a God. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Come on, no music. Come on, no music. Come on, 30 seconds. Just give God praise right now. Come on, somebody. Let the voice speak right now. God, we give you praise today. We don't need instruments right now, God. We lend our voice to you. In the name of Jesus, there is no name like that name. Come on, church, give God praise today. Amen. He's not just any God.
That's right.
Amen. There's lots of little G's out there. But he is the great eternal wonder. Amen. He is the great God everlasting. Thank God he came on a Sunday morning to Paris, Texas. Amen. Of all places he could be. God have mercy. My. What a great God we serve. Amen. So good to be in church on a Sunday. Amen. We're thankful that you chose to make this a part of your weekend. Amen. It is the greatest place to be in town, not just because it's our church, but because where the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, there is deliverance. Amen. Anything can happen in his presence. Amen. Amen. So glad to be here today. Amen. If you're a guest, welcome to the UPC of Paris. Give our guest a hand. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Amen. I do want to say that we are continuing to pray for Sister Wanda and her family today, for God to strengthen them as her mother makes her transition from this world to the next. Amen. Never forget that where we live right now is just a dressing room for eternity. Amen. That the next life is a whole lot more real than this life, I promise. Amen. And it matters what you do here. Yes, amen. It matters what we do here. Amen. Amen. So if you're not ready to go, get ready to go. Amen. Amen. Praying for them, for God to touch them today. Give them strength in Jesus' name. Amen. What a good God. Turn to someone, tell them, I'm glad you're in church today. And I really mean that. You got to stare them in the eyes. I ain't playing now. I'm glad you're here. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, very familiar scripture. You know it. You could quote it. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For anybody who comes to God, you must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to preach today on a paradox. When I announce the title, it'll sound contradictory, but prayerfully it'll make sense. I want to preach on simply making a believer out of a believer. Making a believer out of a believer. We pray, Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for your word. I need your help today. Anoint us, God, to move in faith, to operate, God, in your word with authority and anointing. In Jesus' name I pray, God, bless these sweet people. Help us, God. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Amen. Making a believer out of a believer.
These are candy stick verses, regardless if you're Pentecostal, Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, whatever. We all know these verses, but I'll quote them anyways. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Simply saying, faith is believing something is real before your eyes can prove it. Paul said, I've preached this verse numerous times in the past 8-9 weeks. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Paul would write in Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The greatest act of faith you have ever exercised in your life was for salvation. It was an act of faith that was initiated by Jesus himself as he began to draw you into his presence. It was an act of faith that upon hearing the preached word of God and upon feeling the tug of the Spirit, that you were left with two simple yet life-altering choices: to believe or not to believe. To believe is to simply be fully persuaded that God will do what he promised. To believe is much deeper, as I've said before, than simply agreeing that something is true. To believe is more than some intellectual mindset or thinking, but to believe is to trust God enough to act upon what he says. When the Bible says that we are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it isn't talking about simply acknowledging that Jesus exists. The devil, the Bible says, he also believes in James 2:19, and he trembles at just believing in God. Biblical belief is more than intellectual agreement. It is trusting God, relying on him, and placing your confidence in him, and obeying his word for your salvation. Jesus answered the famous question on what it was to believe, and it really wasn't a question. Nicodemus was just trying to get in good with the prophet of God, and we know you're a prophet. We know you're a good man. And Jesus answered him in John 3 and verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, being in his human intellect, thinking, well, how in the world can this be? How can I be born when I am old? And how can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? And Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when he says verily, verily, it means in Paris, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he can't see and he can't enter the kingdom of God. Peter, of course, he preaches the greatest message ever preached in the world because it got your carcass out of hell. He preached when they asked him in Acts 2:37, what must we do to respond to the guilt we're feeling for crucifying this man, Jesus Christ? And Peter, of course, laid out the plan of salvation. You are to repent. You are to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, the remittal, the removal of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Paul, he echoes what Peter said, because some have mistakenly said the book of Acts was just a book of history and it was just for that group of people. But Paul is writing to the Corinthian church and he tells you what the gospel is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved. You're saved by the gospel if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. It's Peter's message that Christ died, you repented, you died to your old man. According to the scriptures, he died for our sins. He was buried, It's baptism. You're buried in water in the name of Jesus. And he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And that is the initial filling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everyone who has obeyed the gospel, I'll repeat, has already exercised the greatest act of faith you can exercise on this earth. I read a statement that said, you believed Jesus died for you. You believed his blood could wash away sins you couldn't see. You believed repentance changed your eternity. You believe baptism in Jesus' name remitted your sins. And you believe that you could receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I stop and I ask a simple question. If you believed God for the greatest miracle you'll ever receive, why then do we struggle to believe him for the miracles he promised while we're still on this earth? I believe today in my little brain the Lord would have me speak to you as a group of believers that God is interested, God is desirous in making a believer out of a believer. I know that you're a born-again believer. I know you repented. I know you were baptized. I know you received his spirit. I know you're a born-again believer. I know you believed he saved you. But sometimes we believe he saved us, but we struggle to believe God can heal us. Sometimes we know that God forgave us, but we doubt if God can provide what's in front of me right now. We know that God filled us with the Spirit. I can take you to where I was standing, man, in Bonware, Texas, when the Holy Ghost fell on me as a boy. They were praying for a man named Clint Husband. That's how it, just clarity in my brain it was that night when God filled me. I know he healed me, but the question happens in my mind from time to time. I know I experienced the greatest miracle. I know I had faith for the greatest miracle ever on earth. I received salvation, but yet I struggle at times to believe. Do I really have authority over the enemy? We live in a world that is future driven. We're always reaching for the next thing. We're always saying next year and in 20 years and retirement. That's all good and great. The Bible says we should prepare. But at the same time, I stand in a pulpit not needing to be a prophet, not having to walk in the gifts of the Spirit to know that people who have experienced salvation, people who are good apostolic believers, people who walk day in and day out and do life as a good apostolic Holy Ghost filled individual, yet these same people struggle in being a believer that the Lord really does know, and that not that he just knows, but that he wants to work on their behalf. He wants to come through and he wants to move on their behalf. And the adversary, I'll get to him at the end of this word today, but the adversary has been a master at coming in at the very beginning of lots of people's salvation and sadly, lots of folks in their later years, and he begins to plant this lie that God, for whatever reason, he was big enough to save you, but he's not big enough to help you right now. But I've come today with the help of the Holy Ghost to prayerfully make a believer out of a believer and let you know that God is not some distant genie in a bottle. God is not somewhere Elijah talked about. Is your God on vacation? Where is he at? No. God is a very present help in the time of trouble. The man of God said it this morning. If I make my bed in hell, he's there when I get there. If I ascend to the highest of heights, when I get there, he's already. What is he telling you? He's telling you simply this. You can believe. If I got you there, I'm going to be there when you get there. You can, God have mercy. You can believe that if it feels like your world is falling apart, welcome to a God who specializes in putting people back together. Welcome to a God who specializes in putting hopelessness back together.
To believe is to take God at His word. It's simple, it's elementary. But if God said it, somebody said it. Come on, talk back. We are talking back to church. I mean, I hate preaching to a dead church. I'm serious. Someone said, well, that's fake. Well, just fake it till you feel something. See, I felt the candy stick rise up in me. I'm weighing in my soul if I should go there or move on, but I think I'm going to go there. My God. Amen. We'll go there. Texas A&M, at their football games, they got something called the 12th man. You ever heard of that? It's a bunch of crazy, idiotic kids, fans in the stands, who when the playing field is not doing too good, they pray to God the 12th man can help them out of a bind. They're hoping that it's loud enough that it disrupts the defense. Now, there's going to be a lot. I'm going to help you. There's lots of services I probably don't preach good. Uh-huh. Here we go. I'm on offense all the time up here, right? Very few days, but I'm on defense right now, okay? And we ain't got a 12th man, but you're the second man. And there's going to be many days where it ain't going to be the best preaching, the best singing. We may sing off tune some. The pitch may not be perfect. The preacher may not be great. It may not be in the roof like you want it to be. It may be too quiet, may be too loud, may not be loud enough. But that's where the audience gets involved in the traction of this thing and says, I'm going to help the preacher out a little bit right now. I see he's struggling right now. I'm gonna help the singer out a little bit. I see they're up there shouting, running around, and we're acting like it's the last night of our life and it's horrible. I know I'm meddling, but let me just meddle just for two more minutes. Amen. When we understand that this whole deal of getting involved, I'm going somewhere. Just hang with me. To believe God is to take God at His word. You hear me? I ain't got time to preach on this morning, but everybody who goes to an A&M football game, they have full expectation. We're going to win this thing somehow. I'm on medal. They'll go 4 hours early. They'll pray at that game. I've seen them pray, God, please let them win today. Please, God. Knowing God ain't 58,000 miles in College Station's area code, I promise. Believe in God for a miracle. Right. And they'll pray. Some of them has made that trash into their God. I feel Him here. Amen. Some of them have begun to make that stuff into what they live for, and they'll go and invest $30,000 a year in tickets and merchandise and never get mad about it. I done took a side. I could be that door may come in handy in about 10 minutes. But if anybody ever preaches on money or giving, it's like it gets tighter than you know what in the church, because how blessed God He could ever preach on that to us. To trust, to believe God is to take God at His word, meaning on a bad day, meaning when you come in and we're out of timeouts and ain't nothing happening, ain't nothing going on, preacher's doing horrible. What you need to understand, it's not the one who's preaching, the one who's singing, it is still the word of the Lord. I heard Wayne Cardwell years ago preach at my home church, and Brother Cardwell said it, God, it messed with me so much. He said, He's still a good God even on a bad day. And I've come to tell you today, you may be in overtime and it may feel like there's nothing left, but you hear this preacher, you can take God at His word. God said, just believe my word. He is a faithful, very present help in time of trouble. God have mercy. Somebody give God praise today. If God said it, I believe it. What'd you say?
You say it louder.
That settles it. If God said it, I believe, well, that's so elementary, and we need deep theological teaching, and we got to get in all the Greek and the Hebrew. That's the problem with half the folks in the church. They can't get a miracle because they're trying to figure God out. God said, except you become like a little child, you can't even get in the pearly gate. So stop trying to Greek and Hebrew people to death and just realize if God said it, that's enough. If God said it, that really does settle it. If God said it, I just believe God is able to do what he said he would do. God's trying to make a believer out of a believer. I never forget. Got on the priest's line. Never forget, I was in Hardin, Texas. We were at a sectional men's conference, and lots of times, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it, but we were in a sectional conference. Lots of times, those places, when you're at these ministers' meetings, a lot of politics, and I hate politics, and I ain't got time for that kind of stuff anyway, so I just showed up to do my duty. Not that I haven't ever been political, I probably have. But I showed up that night not expecting God to move. And for months, I woke up one morning, had something happen to my back. I don't know what happened to it. Never went to the doctor like a fool. Should have went to the doctor. But my back was jacked, felt like 1,000 knots all over my back. I couldn't pinpoint what it was, what was going on. And I walked in that night fighting this stuff, Brother Martinez, and we're in service. Again, it's a minister's meeting. We're supposed to vote on stuff. I didn't think God heals on voting nights. Anyways, we're in that service, and I never forget as long as I live. Brother McCoy was sitting behind me. Brother Jeff Story, our superintendent in the Texas district, he was preaching that night, and he, if you know him, he operates in the gifts of the Spirit and faith and prophetic. God really uses him mightily. And he talked about God wanted to heal folks in that service. And God wanted to do something powerful in that house. And I know if we'll forget, Brother Griffith, as long as I live, I was sitting there. I've met Brother McCoy twice. He pastored about 20 miles from me in a small town called Saratoga, Texas. I never will forget it. He came up to me after service. It wasn't like Pentecost shakedown, shake me to the floor, pray. It wasn't none of that stuff that night. He walked up behind, in front of me. He said, son, I need to ask you something. Nothing. Yes, sir. He said, you got back trouble? I said, well, hot dog. I ain't told nobody, so Jesus must be speaking. He said, when you were praying, I saw what looked like a board, and it covered your entire back, and I knew your back was being affected by something, and I believe the Lord wants to heal. I thought, well, my God, man, if he's speaking, I'm ready to go. Hear me. We prayed. It wasn't tongues interpretation. It wasn't prophetic gifts. It wasn't someone prophesying in 3 days it's going to happen. I believe in that stuff. It was just simple prayer. That's been, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. To this day, the back never hurts one more time. It's never hurt. Why? Because God said it. That settles it. Somebody's not hearing me. I'm telling you, I believe the Holy Ghost wants to make a believer out of somebody and tell you, I know you've experienced salvation, but you've been walking around with pain in your body for years. The healer, not Brad, I can't do jack squat for you, but the healer is in the room, and J-E-S-U-S specializes in people like you. Somebody give God praise. To believe is to take God at his word. The Bible said in Romans 4 that Abraham, he never staggered at the promises of God. Verse 21 of Romans 4 says he was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Jesus told him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Not some things. All things are possible. Anyone know what all means? You You said it, Brother Kelso. Say it loud. No, no. Everything. Everything. It's country and I like it. Everything. If God said it, it means everything is possible. There's not an incurable disease. There's not a provision that God can't provide. There's not a son or a daughter who's too far gone that God can't bring back home. There's not a mental instability that's unstable in your mind that God can't fix it in 1 second. He still does the impossible. God said all things are possible to those who can believe. If I said believe when you pray. Jesus, he gets ticked off because this fig tree is not producing figs, and he curses the fig tree. And the Bible says the next day they come back, Peter says, my God, the fig tree you cursed, it withered away. And Jesus answered, said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Let me remind you of Mark chapter 16. Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God's trying to tell you, if you can but believe, I can do it. I told you Joshua 1:8, the Lord told Joshua, meditate on this word day and night. That word meditate in the Hebrew, it doesn't mean nonstop chanting. It's not some sorcery. It's not chanting until God does what I want him to do. That's not what that means at all. It means you've got to internalize it. It's got to become a part of your DNA to such a degree that it begins to shape your heart and it begins to shape your actions. It's not that Jesus is a healer, God is a healer. No, no, no. It is his word says, with his stripes I am healed. It is his word that says, if I can believe, what am I doing? I am internalizing. If I keep on ingesting what's wrong, what's bad, what's negative, all I'm going to do is produce fruit that's negative, bad, and horrible. But if I start producing, or if I start ingesting the word of the Lord, after a while, when somebody says, how's the back doing? You still hurting? You still been over in pain? Something out of you says, it may not be like I want it, but I believe that the Lord is doing a work right now that I can't even see. What is that? That's making a believer out of a believer. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. Martha is beyond grief. She runs up, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus told her, said, I'm not unto thee. If thou wouldest believe, you're going to see the glory of God. Did I not tell you, I know you're a believer in me, but there's something beyond that, Martha. There's a belief that not only can I heal the physical body that's alive, but I can heal the dead body, Martha, that's in the grave. And I want to go back to this. I feel it again. I don't care how backslidden they are. I don't care how far gone they are. I don't care how much they say they don't want the Lord. They don't believe in the Lord. You hear me? The word of the Lord has power to go places that you and I can't go. I don't care how dead it looks. I don't care how dead it seems. I don't care how cold and callous they seem right now. You hear me? The word of the Lord can go by anybody that's still breathing and put life and put hope and put a sense of desire to come back home. There's dead people all over Lamar County spiritually. There's dead people all over this area spiritually who have known, who have tasted the good gift of God. Either church hurt, man, angry at God. Life didn't go like they thought it would go. So they exited the church. And we, being human beings, naturally, we forget about who they are, where they came from. But you hear what I'm telling you? The word of the Lord this day can still go without you making a phone call, without you sending a text message. The word of the Lord can still go to where they are today, sitting down watching TV, doing their thing, and the Holy Ghost can step into a room, and all of a sudden they remember the goodness of God. All of a sudden they, God have mercy, all of a sudden they remember what it felt like to feel that unction of the Holy Ghost. Don't tell me, God, I feel it on me today. Don't tell me God can't bring a revival of the word. Don't tell me God can't. I prophesy by faith that the word of the Lord is going to go into dead homes, into dead families, into dead backsliders, and there will be life again. There will be a revival of the backslider.
Paul said, I didn't come with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Listen to him. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God is letting us know today, you don't have to have a degree in this. You don't have to know all about this. If you can somehow get locked into what he's telling you today, that I know you believe me for salvation. I know you obeyed the gospel. But there is a world beyond where you are right now. And I can make you a believer that's beyond this world. I can make you believe for things you can't even imagine. And I hear it because I felt it. I've been raised all my life in the apostolic movement. We're scared to preach prosperity. We're scared to preach stuff about God blessing, but you hear me? I'm not preaching about $20 holy water, $20 oil, and God will hear you. That's a bunch of puking garbage. But I am telling you, God does want to prosper you today. God does want to bless you today. I'm not speaking just in a material wealth. I'm preaching God wants to prosper your home. He wants to prosper your family. He wants to prosper your mental state. God wants to prosper you. He wants to make a believer out of a believer.
So how does God make a believer? You can come to piano, babe. How does God make a believer out of a believer? If I'm struggling, you know, I can get up here and preach, and again, I probably shouldn't say this, but here we are. You ever heard a preacher say something like this? When I'm preaching to me too. Now, most, maybe liar preachers won't say that, but honest ones will. I'm going to be honest with you. There's lots of times, I'd probably say 90% of the times that I preach, I'm preaching to B-R-A-D. It's okay. Thank you, Brother Honesty. Thank you. We've raised professional Pentecostals. We look like Hollywood, man. Come in, get your glad rags on, your hair's just right. You look good. But inside, we don't believe nothing. Uh-oh. Yeah. Hang on. I know you believe the doctrine. I know you believe in holiness. That's great. That's good. You should. But when it comes to believing God for the supernatural, we treat it like, oh, that's something that happens over in India somewhere. That's something that happens in a third world country where they don't have any insurance, so they pray until God moves. I want to remind us, this good group of people right here, that the same God who operates all over the world, whether you believe it or not, he still operates right here. Now, there's Bible for all this stuff.
Jesus wanted to have, Brother Matt, a major, massive healing crusade in his hometown. Remember that story? The Bible says he walked in ready to heal everything that was sick. And the Bible says, very tragically, he could only heal a few people. Why? Because of their unbelief. But you get, remember, in the Bible, it's in there for you to keep reading. Don't just stop reading at that story. A few verses later, the Bible says he goes to Capernaum. And the Bible says he heals everything that's there. So what held God hostage? To believe or not to believe? I'll get practical because I think practical's good. So how do I become a believer, Pastor? I'm a believer already. I know I've experienced salvation. I've experienced all these great things. What is it that I got to do to make a believer out of me? I read some steps. It's not original with me, so I don't want to say that. But I think it's worth sharing for you to hear today as a practical ending to this word. Number one, God gives a promise. Every miracle starts with a word from God. I never forget, Brother T.F. Tenney, years ago, it was so powerful, one of the greatest wordsmith that ever lived. He said, we are a, God forgive us, I've been guilty too, of needing God to give me a word. God speak to me, God talk to me, God send somebody. Anybody ever did that before? I'm pretty sure I got all of you beat. I prayed it 50,000 times. I need a word, God. I need a word, God. God, talk to me. And I'm pretty sure it probably makes God upset because faith isn't where it should be, probably. But the T.F. Tenney said it best years ago. He said, if it's been a while since God has spoken to you, if it's been some time since God's give you, quote unquote, we call them a rhema word, a fresh word. Someone comes and speaks a word to us. The best thing for you to do, he said, is to get in the book that's full of promises and read that thing and realize if God said it here, I don't care how old it is, it's still relevant today. Are you hearing me? The first thing you do is you have to believe the promise of God, that God does want to heal. God does want to deliver. Faith cometh by hearing. Here we go, church, 500 times. Truth that's repeated is going to bring freedom. Thy word is truth. Marry yourself for the thousandth time to every word in this book. Are you hearing me right now? Marry yourself to this word. Don't marry yourself to the diagnosis. Don't marry yourself to what they said, what she said, what the haters said. I don't care what they said. Marry yourself to the word. And after a while, Sister Martinez, the promises of God begin to shape you, begin to alter you, begin to all of a sudden your attitude changes. I told you last Wednesday night, if you were in here a while back, somebody was sick. And I was having one of those days. I was having a heavy day. And I came to the church to try to write them a Bible study because they were going away for a while and they needed God to help them. Anyways, as I'm writing scriptures for them, Sister Calico, as I'm writing words of encouragement for them, I can't explain it. Instantaneously, it lifted off of me. What was that? It was the word of God. It's sharp. It's powerful. It's a discerner. It knows the intents of the heart. God, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Every miracle starts with the word from God. Number one, God gives a promise. All right? Everyone said God gives a promise. If you write stuff down, write it down. If you don't, watch it, write it down later. Here we go. This is a big one. This is where Brad gets transparent. All right? Everyone said God delays. This is where I won't preach to you because maybe you don't. This is where I struggle the most. Abraham waited. Lazarus stayed dead for 4 days. Israel stood at a Red Sea. Disciples rode through a storm. Hear this. Delay reveals whether or not I really trust Him. In a Sunday service, I've been in services. We shook, rattled, and rolled, man. Rode in the floor, danced, ran the aisles. I mean, ladies shouting their hair. I'm all for it. That's all great and good. Only to get home and to get DDT'd off the top rope by a devil I didn't see coming. Hello. Who put me in a sleeper hold. Come on, somebody. I couldn't see. Couldn't see straight, couldn't breathe straight, couldn't look right, thought I was passing out, so to speak, in the spirit. And I didn't realize that it was just a delay. And I thought, man, the service where God spoke. I've had many services where God said, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z in your life. One in particular, I can tell you right now, 22 years later, I'm still waiting. It's a God delay. Everybody, it's a microwave generation, not just this. Our generation is the microwave generation, whatever. Maybe the old timers aren't. I don't want to call anybody an old timer. But if you think you're an old timer, maybe you're not. But the last 40, 50 years, it's a microwave generation. We want everything right now. God promises something, it's got to be by this time tomorrow, or I'm mad at God. God gives a promise. And then God says, how about you just learn how to trust me here? We preach it Wednesday night. It's the rhythm of the harvest. What is the rhythm of the harvest? You plant, and then you wait on God, and then God gives an increase in due season. Be not weary, for in due season you shall. Come on. You shall reap. Hang on. It's that two-letter word that's the biggest word in the Bible. You shall reap if you faint not. There's people in this house today, I do feel this, that you're stuck in a delay. That God spoke, God said some things, God even gave a rhema word to you. And it's the process of waiting on God. And I've seen many people leave off. They were born again believers, but they stopped being a believer in God's ability to come through because they felt like God had to do it at a certain time. Remember this, please. God doesn't work for you, and God doesn't work for me. Everyone said God is sovereign. That means that God does what He wants to do. Okay? James Wilson sung it best. It's just wait on the Lord. It's the God delays. Third step, making a believer out of a believer, is that God calls us to act. Faith always has an obedient response. Peter got out of the boat. The servants filled the water pots at the wedding of Cana. Naaman dipped 7 times. The blind man went and washed. God often requires action before manifestation. I've told you, God will not do for you what you can do for yourself. God expects us to be a proactive people. He'll help us. He gives us the greatest tool book in the world. But He expects us to put some feet with our faith. Faith without works is dead. I pause here today to make a salvation call. God gave the promise over 2,000 years ago in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38. Verse 39 was the promise. And this promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. I will say it again. I can get, quote unquote, Pentecost's greatest preacher. I heard Brother Wayne Huntley years ago preach on Brother O.R. Falls, speaking about, if you knew him, he was a very powerful conviction preacher. But you have to understand something. But I've heard Brother Huntley say, I've seen a service where even the great O.R. Falls couldn't move people. He said, but I saw God move on an 8-year-old boy as he walked, and he shook under the power of God. He said, and as he moved in front of people and cried, men came running to an altar. What he was saying is this: I can preach the greatest, we can have the greatest singing, the greatest preaching, but if God ain't drawing, you ain't coming. That's why I tell you, don't get preacher religion, please. Don't worry, I got my favorite preachers too. We all do. But don't become, I've seen folks schedule things. Well, I'll go if they're preaching, but if not, we're going to stay home tonight. You a devil, which you are. Yeah, you're a big devil. You need to pray through. Amen. Because it's not the preacher. Now, he can deliver it great. I thank God for deliveries. I thank God for different ways God uses. I'm not at all knocking great preachers. Hear my heart. I'm just saying, we got to get beyond this mindset and understand that when God calls us to act, God does these things by his Spirit drawing men. And so today, if you have felt, if you've not experienced salvation, if you have felt the tug of the Spirit of God that said there's got to be something more for my life, I'm preaching to you for 2 minutes right now. The promise, sir, the promise, ma'am, it's to you. I never forget, long as I live, when Jen and I pastored in Dayzetta, I was playing the drums on a Sunday morning. I saw a young man walk in the back of the church. He sat in the back of the church, a back pew, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you are to preach him today to an altar. Now, that was kind of some weird stuff about preaching to an altar. I just preached the word I had. He was the only boy that moved that day. But God gloriously filled him with the Holy Ghost. God, we baptized him in Jesus. I never saw him again. But God let me know on purpose. I brought that boy. His words were, I brought him here. I want to fill him with the Holy Ghost. And God did what he said. What I'm saying is this: you can't move, sir. You can't move, ma'am. I'm not going to coerce you. I'm not going to beg you today. I've seen folks beg people into a theatrical. I'm not here to play theatrics with you right now. We can play theater and jump around and dance around, nobody be changed. But real life change comes when the Holy Ghost begins drawing on men. And if you have felt the tug of the Spirit, not me, but God telling you, it's time to make a move. I'm preaching to you right now. Hear this, preacher. You have to repent of your sins. Please hear me. You have to ask Christ, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. God does not demand you remember every sin, but he does ask for a broken and contrite spirit. The Bible, that simply means he asks for a heart of surrender. God, here it is. I'm not a good man, good lady, whatever. Repentance, what is it again? It's 180 degrees. It's going this direction now. I was going that direction. Now I'm going that is repentance. If you have not been baptized, you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the removal of your sins. Remember this, the water has no power. Ready? It's back to acting on what God said. God gives a promise. He gave you a promise of the Holy Ghost. He gave you a promise of salvation. Some of you, perhaps you've been delaying for too long. I don't know, but it's time to stop delaying. And right now, it's time to act on what God's talking to you about right now. You repent. The water has no power, but it's obedience to his word. The preacher, man, lady, I don't care, baptizes you in the name of Jesus Christ. And when that happens, the Bible says, your sins are washed away. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When they received the gift of the Spirit in the book of Acts, again, this is beyond a church history book as some have miscategorized it as. They all spoke in a heavenly language. Speaking in tongues, hear me, again, is not the Holy Ghost, but it is the evidence of the initial infilling of the Spirit of God. That's how you know I've received something. Amen. Amen. If you feel God tugging on you today, I'm talking to you. If you've never experienced that today, I ask you to please consider that today. It is always God's will, it is always God's desire for another person to be saved. There's never a day that goes by that it's not God's will. But I do believe, ladies and gentlemen, there are God moments in every service where God tugs on a heart. And either I can believe it or not believe it. Either I turn. The Bible says His word will not return void. It will go and do what it's supposed to do. In the end, it's up to me. Let's all stand. God gives a promise. There's God delays. God calls us to act, not just in salvation. I want to bring it back to the corporate body. God gives you a promise. Sometimes God brings a delay, and it feels like you're waiting forever. God calls us to act. Number four, God proves Himself faithful. When God comes through, our confidence grows. Anybody ever had God answer a prayer for you? One answered prayer becomes the foundation for the next. David said the only reason why David could stand in front of Saul and say, I'll go out there and challenge this madman Goliath, was because he said these words: the Lord delivered me out of the hands or the paws of the lion and the bear. What was that? It was seeing God's provision firsthand. God will, you hear me today, God wants to prove Himself faithful to you. And the fifth thing, when God makes a believer out of a believer, is God starts the process all over again. He stretches our faith again. He doesn't let us stay comfortable. Peter's walked on water. Remember that guy? Remember, he's a pretty cool guy in the Bible. He gets to be called the small rock, the one that God's going to build His church on, and the gates of hell won't prevail. He's the preacher that's called to be the one who delivers Pentecost's greatest message. He walks on water. He heals the sick. He's firsthand with the guy who raises the dead. And in Acts chapter 4, his faith is being stretched again. In Acts 3, a lame man at a gate called Beautiful gets healed. In Acts 4, the church got mad. That religious church got mad. And demanded, in whose name are you doing this in? And it's in the name of Jesus. It ain't nothing I did. And finally, after they were with Him, they realized these guys are ignorant. These guys have no formal education. We realize it's God. Notice this. Acts chapter 4. The Bible says this is God stretching their faith. When they left that meeting, when they left from being arrested, they went to the believer's house. And the Bible said they prayed for boldness. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost came in that house and it shook the house. And God filled, the Bible said, everybody in the house with the Holy Ghost and gave them the boldness they need. God gives a promise. God delays. God calls you to act. God proves Himself faithful. And then God stretches our faith again. That's how God makes a believer out of a believer. God is not slack concerning His promises, meaning that if I've been waiting for something personally for 22 years, I've seen, Brother Kelso, the beginning fruit of the promise come to pass, but still not into full fruition. To be honest with you, there's been years, my brother, I forgot about it. Every now and again, I'm reminded, oh yeah, I forgot said that. I forgot God said that. Do you think Abraham forgot Isaac's coming? The guy's 75. 25 years he has to wait. We preached about it last week. At 99, God says, hey man, your name's Abraham. You ain't Abram anymore. Sarah ain't got no baby. Ain't nothing going on in here. And he has to start speaking what he is to everybody he meets. I'm Abraham. I'm a father of many nations. I'm a father of many nations. I'm a father. What was he doing? Truth repeated. It began to bring belief and freedom. Amen. And I'm telling you today, I don't care how long you've been waiting. Do not let the delay make you begin to believe that God doesn't care, that God doesn't see, that God's not. No, God is going to come through. I want to just end with this verse. Jesus said, I've given you power and authority, Sister Stephanie, to tread on scorpions, on serpents. Jesus said, every time that snake of hell comes against you and says, ain't going to happen. God didn't say it. God's a liar. God made it up. The Bible says you have the divine authority to put your foot on his head and say, not today. I've told you over and over, God has dealt with me lately about this. When Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. I'm not God, but his spirit lives in me. And God has begun to deal with me lately, letting me know when the adversary attacks you, son, if you give place to that, if you give room to that, he's essentially in a way coming against me. But you have the authority because it's the word says, it is written. You're not supposed to tempt what God put inside of me. He put his spirit, so you can't put on me heaviness and chains and bondage. I close with great people. I'm telling you today, it don't take a super a shouting service to know this, and you hear me. If you came in today and you've prayed for 100 times, God heal me, God set me free, I ask you today, would you please pray again? Would you please come one more time? Would you please not get mad at God? Would you please not blame God and keep pushing one more day? Keep going one more day. I'm telling you, when God begins to answer, when God begins to come through, you will have stones that begin to build one on top of the other. And you will see, I'm preaching to folks right now, you know God is faithful, but you're stuck in a delay. I'm challenging you right now. Remember what God did and keep on holding on. Remember how God came through in the past and keep on going forward. Let's all pray together. Jesus, we love you today. Thank you, God, for your anointing that's in this house this morning. I pray, God, right now in the name of Jesus that, God, you would come and you would minister to people today who are maybe perhaps stuck in the middle of a delay, God. I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would give them strength to endure. I pray, God, right now in the name of Jesus, you would give them grace to keep on pressing on, Lord. I pray for those today praying for a miracle in their bodies. I pray, oh God, you would show yourself mighty today. I pray you would show yourself strong today, God. Let the healing virtue, oh God, I pray of your spirit, move in this house today, oh God. God, you told us that signs would follow those who believe. We believe you, oh God, today for the miraculous. We believe you, oh God, today to do wonders among us, Lord. I pray for everybody today, God, in need of salvation. I pray, God, your spirit would move on hearts today. I pray you would tug on every heart of every man and woman and child in this house who needs your spirit, Lord. Touch, oh God, I pray, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. These altars are open today. I challenge you today. If you feel like you're stuck in the middle of a delay, I ask you, please, don't exit yet. Don't stop yet. Would you come and pray today and ask the Lord, God, give me the grace. God, give me the strength, Lord. You're making a believer out of a believer today. Come on, if you've never experienced the Holy Ghost today, we'll pray for you today. But you've got to act first. You've got to repent of your sins. You've got to experience the power of forgiveness today. Come on, somebody. Talk to the Lord as she begins to sing today. Holy Ghost, I pray, God, do what only you can do, Lord. Speak, oh God, how only you can speak today, Lord.
And I believe.
Come on, somebody, right now, in the name of Jesus Christ. Do a work, oh God, I pray among us, Lord. Do a work, oh God, I pray among us, Lord. That's it, somebody. Come on. Come on, somebody. Let's not just talk. Let's pray right now. Come on. Just don't talk to God, but get serious with God right now. I'm in need of you, God. Break through my life, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God, right now. God, right now. God, right now, in the name of Jesus. Come on, people. Come on, church. Come on, God said it. I believe it, Lord. It is done today. It is done, oh God. In the name of Jesus, oh God.
You said it, Lord.
I believe.
I believe. You said it, God. It is done. Hallelujah.
It is done. Oh, yes, Lord, you said. And I believe. You said. It is done. You said. I believe.
Lord, we love you today, God. Thank you for this great church. Thank you, God, for the moving of your Spirit, Lord. Help us, I pray, God, to become more than just born-again believers, God, but believers in your word, believers in your power, believers in your healing.